This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program is Remember Who We Are and Challenges of a Muslim with Imam Zaid Shakir.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his mighty and noble book, Do you think that or consider that you were created with no purpose and that unto us you shall not be returned? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us a simple question, brothers and sisters. Do we think this is our state? We were created for purpose. We were created for many purposes. And inshallah ta'ala, we can remind you of a few of these. One of the reasons we were created to be tested. As we mentioned a little while ago to some of the brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُّوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Allah Ta'ala says that blessed is the one who has the dominion of all things and he over all things has power, the one who has created life and death in order to test you which of you are best indeed. So we were created to be tested, brothers and sisters. Don't be surprised when the vicissitudes of time don't move or turn in a way that you would like them to. You are here to be tested. Don't be surprised when life isn't, as they say, a bed of roses. You are here to be tested. Allah Ta'ala tells you this. And this is one of many, many verses which emphasize and drive this point home for us. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala tests us in our health. He tests us in our wealth. He tests us with our time. He tests us with the fruits. Allah Ta'ala tests us with the fruits, our physical, the loss of physical fruit, and then the loss of the fruits of our effort. We work towards something and it doesn't come to fruition. This is one of the tests Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives to us. This is one of the tests Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes us to. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَالنَّقْسِ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ That surely we will test you with something. There won't be a total wipeout for this ummah. Muslims are starving in some places. But is this our general condition? This isn't our general condition. And it will never be our general condition. Because Allah Ta'ala says in this ayah, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ That we will test you with something of fear and hunger. وَنَقْسٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ And a loss of life and wealth and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Therefore give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere. We have to endure. We have to persevere. We have to keep going forward, and we have to put things in perspective. So we're created to be tested. We are tested as individuals, and we're tested as an ummah. As an ummah also, the test as an individual, the tests are bearable. Allah doesn't place on anyone a burden greater than they can bear. And as an ummah, the test passed. Allah Ta'ala says, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ That these alternating fortunes of good and bad, difficulty and ease, or these changing fortunes, we alternate between the nations. نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْنَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, in order that Allah will show which of you truly believe, وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ, and take from your ranks martyrs. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, and Allah doesn't love those who are oppressed, who are oppressors rather. Don't think that these people who are murdering, who are usurping all over this world, that they're going to escape the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, Allah doesn't love this. Allah doesn't love this. He's merely giving them respite so that they can prepare the way for their own doom. And this is why we should not be overly concerned. This is Quran, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Sahaba and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَكِيدُونَ كَيْدًا وَأَكِيدُ كَيْدًا فَمَحِلِ الْكَافِرِينَ أَمْهِلْهُمْ رُوَيْدًا, that they're planning and conspiring, and I also have a plan, so give them respite for a period. ذَرْنِي وَالْمُكَذِّبِينَ أُولِي النَّعَمْ وَمَحِلْهُمْ قَلِيلًا, leave me to deal with those big shots, those arrogant ones, and give them respite for a while. Why? Because our positive work will do more to lead to their demise than our negative work, our responding to their cues. We have to begin to work and to plan and to deal proactively so that they start responding to our initiatives and not the other way around. And Allah says that He doesn't love the oppressors. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and through these tests and trials, Allah Ta'ala will purify the ranks of the believers. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, this word tamhis is the process of separating the impurities from the gold. And Allah Ta'ala wants the gold. And that's who's going to go forth and do the job. A lot of people will fall off. And this is a process the ummah goes through. But those people who don't, they will be as good as gold. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ, and Allah Ta'ala will obliterate the disbelievers. This is the way of Allah, brothers and sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to worship. As He says unequivocally in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, I've only created the men, jinn and men, to worship me. إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونِ, that they worship me. This is one of the reasons we've been created. And we have to fulfill this. Otherwise, we will never be fulfilled in our life. Without the worship of Allah in our lives, we will never have personal fulfillment as a believer. We can chase after it and whatever. We will never find it in anything other than the worship of Allah. And part of this worship is serving humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us of this. Worship is not just the five prayers. Worship is vast in Islam. And with the sincere niyyah, ordinary acts become worship. And the examples of this are too many to enumerate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ فِي عَوْنِ الْعَبْدِ مَا كَانَ الْعَبْدُ فِي عَوْنِ أَخِيهِ, that Allah will continue to help the servant as long as the servant is helping his brother. If we want the help of Allah, we have to help our fellow human beings. We have to help our fellow Muslims. And Allah Ta'ala will help us. And if we fail to do this, Allah Ta'ala won't help us. As we said, al-jaza' min jins al-amal. The recompense is commensurate to the act. Brothers and sisters, this idea of serving, to expand it further, we mentioned a general example. More specifically, Allah subhanahu, the Messenger of Allah says in a sound hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, قال, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, كل سلامة من الناس عليه صدقة كل يوم تطلع فيه الشمس تعدل بين اثنين صدقة وتعين الرجل على دابته صدقة فتحمله عليها أو ترفع له عليها متاعها صدقة وكلمة الطيبة صدقة وبكل خطوة تمشيها إلى الصلاة صدقة وتميت الأذى عن الطريق صدقة. رواه البخاري ومسلم. The path that he said is related by Abi Huraira. He said that it's incumbent upon every joint in the human body. Charity is incumbent upon it every day that the sun rises upon. So this debt that we owe to Allah, this is the essence of worship. How do we pay this debt? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reconciling between two contending parties is charity. This is action. Reconciling, ta'dil bayna ithnayni, sadaqa. Judging justly, reconciling between people is charity. To assist a man with his mount is charity. To help him get on it or to lift his goods up for him, this is charity. A good word, the good word is charity. So you don't have any of that. Speaking good to people is charity. Every step you take to pray is charity. And to remove the harmful thing from the road is charity. So from all these acts that he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how many of them fall into the category of ritualistic worship? Only one. وَكُلِّ قَطْوَةٍ تَمْشِيهَا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ صَدَقَةً. This is our worship. And another hadith, he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, two rakats of duha, salat al-duha, compensates for all of that. So we should do our salat, duha, in the morning. Pray two rakats after the sun has cleared the horizon and before salat al-dhuhr. This deen, as you can gauge, and it's not our intention to give examples, but we could give more penetrating example, is a lofty religion. This is not a mundane affair. We have the highest, most refined system of ethics and morals imaginable. But where's its proof? Where are the evidence and traces of it? Where? What has happened? So what has happened, brothers and sisters? One thing is that generally speaking, we have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we said, al-jaza' min jins al-amal. The recompense is commensurate to the act. And Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah and He caused them to forget about themselves. So because we've forgotten about Allah, generally speaking, not anyone here per se, as an ummah, then Allah has caused us to forget who we are. We've forgotten who we are as Muslims. And we don't have to ask the question, have we forgotten Allah? Are we in a state of remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And if we aren't, we shouldn't be surprised if we find that we've forgotten who we are. لَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like those who forgot about Allah and He caused them to forget about themselves. So we've forgotten, brothers and sisters, who we are. We've forgotten, so we don't perceive ourselves as a unique sociological entity, the Muslims. We perceive ourselves as a member of this group or that group, but are we consciously aware that we are a member of this group? And as a unique sociological entity, as a member of this community, as a member of this nation of human beings, do we perceive ourselves as a group locked in a deadly struggle with the forces of evil? This is how it was understood by our forebears. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frames it. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, those people who believe. So there's a distinct group being identified. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Those who believe, they fight in the way of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ. They know who they are. They know they're the enemies of Allah's deen. And they're living and working the part, day and night. And then Allah Ta'ala says to that group He's identified, He says, فَقَاتِلُوا. So all of you fight awliya al-shaytan. the dupes of Satan. Inna kayda shaytani kana da'ifa. Verily Satan's scheme is weak. Do we perceive that we're a part of this struggle, brothers and sisters? Or have we forgotten? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reminds us that we are a people who are servants of humanity. Have we forgotten that? كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You're the best community. Who is Allah Ta'ala talking to? Does this exclude us? There's no exception here. There's no ayah after this ayah. إلا الذين أتوا في آخر الزمان في قرن الحادي والعشرين. Except those who live at the end of time. Except those who come in the 21st century. There's no ayah like this. This is you and I, brothers and sisters. You're the best nation raised up for the benefit of humanity. You command the good, you forbid the wrong, and you believe in Allah. This is us. Do we remember? Are we mindful? Or have we forgotten? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us. We want to be served. We want our peace. We're the servants. And sometimes the servant doesn't have a piece of the pie. The servant makes sure everyone else eats. We've forgotten who we are, so we don't see ourselves as undertaking a communal mission in this world, nor in the hereafter. We forget. We have a communal mission. In this world, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت لنا, and in the next. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَقُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. Thus have we made you a balanced nation, that you will be witnesses against the people, and the messenger will be a witness against you. On the day of judgment, if any people try to claim that they didn't receive the message, that their messenger didn't teach them, we will witness against them. Our ummah. You and I, brothers and sisters. And if we try to make that claim, why didn't you do your job, Muslims? If we try to claim that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't deliver this message, جَاءَ بِالرِّسَالَةِ وَأَدَّى الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَصَحَ الْأُمَّةِ وَكَشَفَ الْغُمَّةِ وَجَهَدَ فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ, then he will witness against us. فَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. How will it be when we will bring forth from every nation a witness, and we have brought you forth as a witness against these, against us, brothers and sisters? How will it be? This shit over. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reflected on this verse, He was moved to tears, and he's the witness. How much weight should be on us as the witness against our position in this world as the Muslims is no joke. It comes with responsibilities. It comes with duties. And we have to fulfill those. And the world suffers with our neglect. The world is suffering because we're not doing our job. Because we've forgotten who we are. Because we aren't communicating the prophetic mission to people. We're not demonstrating the prophetic virtues to people. The Prophet, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the believer is soft. Al-mu'min layyin sahl. The believer is soft and easygoing. The best of humanity after the prophets, rada alayhim salam. Abu Bakr Siddiq, what was his characteristic? See, Abu Bakr is a soft person. But then the Prophet was soft, but just and firm for justice. That's the balance. The balance. Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Qur'an, Khalaq al-Insan, Allamuhu al-Bayan, Al-Shamsu wal-Qamaru bi-Husban, وَالنَّجْمُ وَالشَّجْرُ يَسْجُدَانِ وَالسَّمَاءَ رَفَعَهَا وَوَدَعَ الْمِيزَانِ أَلَّا تَطْغَوْا فِي الْمِيزَانِ وَأَقِيمُوا وَزْنَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَلَا تُخْسِرُوا الْمِيزَانِ. And we've raised up the firmament of the sky and we've established the balance. And the balance should be throughout everything, including our lives. We should have softness and firmness when need be. Muhammad Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارُ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. We have a balance. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Brothers and sisters, if we look at the current psychological state of the Muslims in this country, generally speaking, we find that many Muslims are depressed, many Muslims are frustrated, many Muslims feel powerless before the forces which have been arrayed against the believers, not only here in this country, but throughout the Ummah. And if we look and consider the history of Islam, we see that our situation closely parallels the situation of the Muslims in the immediate aftermath of Uhud. After the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims were depressed. The Muslims were frustrated. The Muslims, after being so close, has seen the spoils of victory taken away from them. As we know, at the Battle of Uhud, the Muslims had routed the non-believers and were on the verge of descending upon the battlefield to collect the booty, to collect the spoils of war. And then at that fateful moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that the archers would abandon their position because they also wanted to gain the spoils of war. And Khalid bin al-Walid radiallahu anhu, before his entrance into Islam, led his cavalry around the flank of the Muslims. So the Quraysh, who were retreating, when they saw Khalid and his cavalry coming from the rear, they turned and they regrouped and they charged the Muslims. So the Muslims were caught between the regrouped forces of the Quraysh from in front and the forces of Khalid bin al-Walid from the rear. And in this terrible vice, many Muslims perished. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was wounded to his head and his tooth knocked out. And even rumors started that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had been killed on that day. So the setback which the Muslims experienced on the day of Uhud was compounded by the fact that the victory seemed so close. When we look at our situation, we see that the Muslims were close to the victory here in this country. Not any actual victory, but saw the doors opening for Islam. They saw people from all walks of life coming into Islam. The proliferation of Islamic centers and schools and masajid, all of the pathways of da'wah opened before the Muslims. Even on September, the week before September 11th, the unveiling of the Eid stamp at the ISNA convention in front of thousands of Muslims. Then Muslims perceiving that the Muslim political power had arrived, in the sense that Muslims provided the pivotal votes to swing the victory for George Bush in the state of Florida. So Muslims feeling that they had in fact been the key force in electing the president as an indication of the emerging strength of the Muslim political voice in this country. And then just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to test the Muslims on the day of Uhud, when the battle was so close, He tested the Muslims in this country right after, 1 week after the unveiling of the Eid stamp, Then September 11th and the tragic events of that fateful day. And then the Muslims seeing everything that they had worked for, all the advances they had made, seemingly evaporate before their very eyes. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Muslims immediately after this setback at Uhud. And this revelation speaks to us, as the scholars of Quran say, Al-Ibrah li'umum al-laf, la li'khusus al-sabab. That the lesson of a verse is based on the generality of its wording and not on the specificity of the occasion of its revelation. So it was revealed in the aftermath of Uhud. But just as it speaks to those Muslims, it speaks to any Muslim who is in their situation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the believers, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَالَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Don't be weakened and don't be saddened when you are uppermost, if indeed you are believers. If indeed you are believers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding the Muslims, don't be affected by these setbacks. Don't be saddened and weakened and lose your resolve because of these setbacks. وَلَا تَهِنُوا. Don't be weakened. Don't be afflicted with wahn. But you must keep working. وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. And don't be saddened. Understand that the believer is looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer is focusing his and her attention on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The believer is longing for the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِقَاءَ اللَّهِ أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ لِقَاءَهُ. The one who longs and looks forward to the meeting with Allah, Allah looks forward to his meeting. And everything in this world is simply a test and a trial which precedes that meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So those who worshipped the political power and they see or think that that power is slipping away, then they're going to be affected by that setback. And these things become idols which people set up as points of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we can worship money. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Ta'isa abdul dinar wa abdul dirham." The ruined is the worshipper, abdul dinar wa abdul dirham. Ruined is the worshipper of money. People can worship clothing, wa abdul khamisa, and the worshipper of the garment. People can worship people. We're told in Islam, we're taught at taghut. What is taghut? Taghut is someone or something set up for worship along with Allah or other than Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in addition to describing stones and idols and statues as taghut, He describes human beings as taghut. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَحَاكَمُوا إِلَى الطَّاغُوتِ وَقَدْ أُمِرُوا أَن يَكْفُرُوا بِهِ. Allah Ta'ala says they want to take a judgment from the taghut. You take a judgment from a human being, not from rocks and idols. So He described the human being as taghut. So a human being can be a taghut, can be something people worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala says in His noble book, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ. That from amongst the people, there are those who set up equals or partners whom they love as they rightfully should love Allah. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. And those who believe are most intense in their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. So our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala minimizes the events of this world. Not that we are not concerned about this world. We are concerned about this world. We're involved with this world. But our hearts should be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that no matter what happens in this world, we maintain our dignity. We maintain our respect. We don't hang our heads in shame. We don't feel ashamed. We don't feel disgraced. We don't feel defeated. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And you are uppermost if indeed you are believers. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةِ. And the dignity, the nobility is for Allah. وَلِرَسُولِهِ. And for His Messenger. وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And for the believers. وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But the hypocrites, they don't realize it. So a person who loses sight of the dignity that should be a Muslim, Allah Ta'ala describes as a hypocrite. وَلَكِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. However, the hypocrites don't realize it. So brothers and sisters, don't allow yourself to be torn and battered by the vicissitudes of time, by the fortunes that afflict this ummah in this world. وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَالَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Because ultimately, the victory will be for the believers. Ultimately, the victory will be for the believers. وَأُخْرَى تُحِبُّونَهَا نَصْرٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَتْحٌ قَرِيبٌ. And something else you would all love, the help from Allah, the victory from Allah, and a speedy opening. وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Therefore give glad tidings to the believers. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And Allah Ta'ala says that He has made it a right upon Himself to give victory to the believers. وَكَانَ حَقًّا عَلَيْنَا نَصْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah Ta'ala says, I have ordained that myself and my messengers will be victorious. But this victory, brothers and sisters, for us, this isn't a victory of bombs and bullets. Make no mistake. In some places, the Muslims are confronted with situations where they have to physically defend themselves or face extermination. But here we are engaged in a battle of ideas. We're engaged in a battle of model and example. And if we don't enter that battle, if we don't show the people what the idea of Islam represents in a world that's being led astray by the dupes of shaitan, the awliya of shaitan, they're leading the people behind false promises. As he says, وَلَأُدِلَّنَّهُمْ وَلَأُمَنِّيَنَّهُمْ. That I will lead, shaitan says, I will lead them astray. And I will put false desires in them. And he's leading the people astray. And he's putting them false, filling their lives with false desires. Desires for things they don't even need. Why are not just one type of people to the exclusion of others? Because Allah Ta'ala has put in every human being the means to understand the call of the fitra, to call the call of the nature of the human being. As Islam is called deen al-fitra, the deen which is consistent with the natural makeup of the human being. And what is in the makeup of this human being? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says concerning every human being, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. That we have ennobled the human being. Even before he's a Muslim, a Christian, a Jew, he's been ennobled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With his intellect, with his himmah, to meet Allah. And this prepares him to respond to the call. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about the human being, ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ وَنَفَخَ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِهِ وَجَعَلَ لَكُمُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبَصَارَ وَالْأَفْئِدَةَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. Then we've made him upright. And he breathed into him of his spirit, this ruh of Allah. The spirit that Allah puts in the human being prepares him to respond to the call, whoever he is. If he's a human being, he's been ennobled. If he's a human being, he has the faculties of hearing, of sight, of perception and feeling in his heart, which prepares him to respond to the call. The challenge for us, brothers and sisters, are we making the call? Are we making the Abrahamic call to the people? Or are we ourselves being called by the people to those things that Shaitan, that Satan is calling them to? We have to decide. So we shouldn't be depressed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes to us, and we should understand, we should not just be feel good about being Muslim when we're on top, when we have the victory, when things are going our way, when there's ease and prosperity, when there are no challenges. Because the Muslims will not always be on top. So our happiness, our contentment, our strength to carry on should not be associated with victory or defeat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he emphasizes this after he says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. What does he say next? إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَثَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُ. If some injury or setback or harm has afflicted you, then it has also afflicted the other people. Yes, at Uhud, you have a tremendous pain, a tremendous setback. But what happened on the day of Badr to your opponents? إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. If some difficulty, injury, harm has afflicted you, then your opponents have been similarly afflicted. So at the day of Uhud is related that 72 of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam met their demise. They died during that battle, which is the exact same amount of the Quraysh who died on the day of Badr. So keep things in perspective. Look at things in historical perspective. Philistine has been occupied for 50 years by the Zionists. It was occupied 150 years by the Crusaders. But what happened in the end? وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْحٌ فَقَدْ مَثَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْحٌ مِثْلُهُ. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Allah says these alternating fortunes of victory and defeat, of good times and hard times, of rich and poverty, wealth and poverty. We alternate these between the nations. The Muslims will not always be on top. The Muslims will not always be prospering. The Muslims will have a day, and the non-Muslims will have a day. As they say, يَوْمٌ لَكَ وَيَوْمٌ عَلَيْكَ وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامِ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. This is the truth that Allah Ta'ala is speaking, verified by history. So our confidence, our happiness, our dignity is not associated with victory and defeat. These are only trials that Allah alternates between the nations. Why? وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. In order that Allah will show who truly believes. How can our belief be affirmed without a test? How do you know your student has progressed if you never test the student? He or she just comes to class every day, you give a lesson, he leaves, she leaves. They come to class, he leaves, she leaves. How do you know if they're learning the lessons? How do you know if they're progressing in their studies? You have to test them. This is why you have examinations. And what keeps them from not doing their homework? If they know there'll never be a test, they'll never study. They'll never prepare. If they know there's no final examination, they'll just come to class, sleep, and then go out and play all day. But when there's a test coming, they know they have to study. They know they have to review. They know they have to prepare. And similarly for us. So Allah Ta'ala says, no, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be come to class, listen to the lecture and not be tested. So Allah sends us the trials. He sends us the calamity. He sends us the difficulties. He sends us the tests. And He says, وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, in order that Allah will show those who believe. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ, and He will take martyrs from your ranks. But in the final analysis, Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, Allah doesn't love oppressors. The people oppress the Muslims and other innocent human beings. The people who ride roughshod on them, denying even their basic human rights. Don't think that in the end they will go unpunished. Don't think that. Allah Ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ, Allah does not love oppressors. But we have a job to do. We cannot blindly respond to every provocation that occurs. We have foundational work. We haven't even built our communities. Our communities are in shambles. Many of our marriages are in shambles. Our children don't have viable social activities centered around the masjid to connect their hearts to the masjid. They see Islam as being dull, no fun. We haven't done foundational work, but we want the fruit. We have to work. We have to lay the foundation. And if we do, all other things will follow in due course. So we should not be down. We should understand the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We started making a parable between Uhud and our current condition. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gave a gift to the believers to reinforce the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. Wallahu ala kulli shayin qadeer. Just to complete the earlier point, our working has to be based on the dictates of what we need to strengthen our community and not based on everything we see in the news. Otherwise, we'll never be able to focus on any project that benefits us right here, so that we can put ourselves in a position to meaningfully change things. We're back and forth, back and forth. This week we're responding to the crisis in India. The week before that, the crisis in Afghanistan. The week before that, the crisis in Philistine. Next week, the crisis in Shishan. Next week, the crisis in Bosnia. The crisis here, the crisis there. We have to understand we have our own crisis right here. And if we don't deal with that crisis, the crisis of developing our community, unifying and developing an effective administrative structure for our communities, to tie our communities together, to pool our resources, to develop the wherewithal for the proper Islamic education of our children, our adults, our women, then what can we do for the Muslims? We'll be adding our weakness when we have potential strength. But we'll just add our weakness and our confusion and our lack of organization to the weakness and confusion and lack of organization that have rendered our Muslim brothers and sisters in their own country unable to do anything about the situation. We have strengths that are unique here in this country. We have to begin building on those strengths, or else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them away. We're the only community in this ummah with 100% literacy. The only Muslim community with 100% literacy. If you take away the largesse of government, grants that are given to people, and you look at the earning power of the community, we're the wealthiest community in this ummah. We have the highest percentage of doctors and engineers of any Muslim community in this ummah. We have many strengths and advantages, but we don't exploit those. We behave as if we have 50% literacy, like many of our brothers and sisters in other lands. We behave as if we don't have financial resources at our disposal, like many of our brothers and sisters, because we don't put the wherewithal in place to harness those resources. To give you an idea, if you say Muslims have a medium income, if you even say $10,000, which is far below the truth, and there are approximately 10 million Muslims, which might be a little exaggerated, but the income level is tremendously depressed. The poverty level is $10,000. If you multiply that $10,000 by those 10 million Muslims, you come up with the figure of how much income each year? $100 billion. And the reality is far higher. How much of that do we live on? If you say we live on half, that leaves $50 billion. Why don't we have any endowments? Why don't we have any universities? Why don't we have a single credible university to prepare a generation for dawah, to prepare a generation for scholarship, to prepare a generation? Our community's expanding. We need judges, we need qadis, we need da'is, we need all of these, we need teachers. Why aren't we preparing them? Because we're too busy reacting. We haven't taken time to adequately act. And when we act, then we'll be in a position to do something for Philistine, to do something for Kashmir, to do something for Afghanistan, to do something for Shishan. But until we act, we'll simply be reacting. And as long as we're reacting, at the end of the day, we won't do anything effective. And the proof is in our history. Now we're reacting just as we reacted at the Gulf War crisis, and reacted before that, at the crisis before that. The same reaction. We have to do more, and it's the challenge of the leadership of the Muslims to offer the Muslims more and to create a broader vision for the Muslim, a vision of empowerment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after the Muslims were exposed to that tremendous setback on the day of Uhud, one day later, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hearing that Abu Sufyan and the Quraysh were coming back towards Medina to finish off the Muslim, said, "We're going out after them." And they went out after them until they arrived at a place called Hamra al-Asad. And the Quraysh, seeing that the Muslims, despite their weakness, despite their injuries, despite their setbacks, they were carrying the battle to them, they turned and they went back to Mecca. So that psychological defeat that the Muslims had suffered turned into a psychological victory. Because now the Quraysh were running away from the Muslims. And then the Muslims stayed there 5 days in the company of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, rebuilding their morale and preparing to carry the struggle onwards. In the aftermath of September 11th, that tremendous riveting setback, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala similarly gave a gift to the people, to the Muslims of this land. And it all shows just as what happened in Hamra al-Asad. Wallahu ala kulli shay'in qadir. Innama amruhu idha arada shay'an an yaqula lahu kun fayakun. Fasubhanalladhi biyadihi malakutu kulli shay'in wa ilayhi turja'un. That the Muslims who thought the da'wah was finished in America, who thought they could never speak about Islam again in America, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of the churches, of the schools, of the businesses to hear the message of Islam. And this boosted the morale of the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ala kulli shay'in qadir. So what is the role and responsibility of the Muslim to stand up, to pick himself up, to not be depressed, to not be defeated, to not be set back, but to forge on, because we have a life-giving message. We have a message that embodies peace. Why? Because it lays the foundation for universal brotherhood. We don't have a message that divides the world into conflicting camps, the bourgeoisie and the proletariat, the Jews and the Gentiles, into Bani Adam, the children of Adam alayhi salam. This is our message. This provides the basis for brotherhood. Ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha, wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu, inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The best, the most noble of you with Allah is not the blackest, the whitest, the reddest, the yellowest, the brownest, the tallest, the shortest, the Jew, the Gentile. The best of you with Allah is the one who has most piety. This is the message of Islam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He rewarded those who responded to the Prophet when He said to those wounded, those demoralized, those depressed Muslims who had limped back to Medina the day before, to get up. Only those who were in the battle, not those who were fresh, to get up, stand up, go forth, fi sabilillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدَ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ. Those who responded to the call of Allah and His Messenger, after they had been afflicted with that injury, with that harm, with that setback. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا أَوَلَا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. For those who believe, لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. That those who believe and they have, they're mindful of Allah, they will have a tremendous reward. So this is for us, brothers and sisters, to respond to the call of Allah and His messengers, to stand up, to keep working, to keep making effort, to keep sacrificing, to work, to build our communities stronger, develop a stronger and deeper base, to go forth with this message, to respond to the call of Allah and His Messenger after, مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ. After we've been afflicted with the pain and the setback that has afflicted us. And then He says, those who do good, they will have a tremendous reward. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا. Those who do good from amongst them. مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. We have to be good within ourselves. الْإِحْسَانِ. فَأَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِحْسَانِ. أَنْ تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ فَإِنْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. That you worship this inner excellence, that you worship Allah in a state of being as if you see Him. And if you don't see Him, know that He sees you. And we have to have ihsan inwardly and outwardly. Those who did the extra after they've been hurt, after they've been defeated, after they've been harmed, who could still get up and push themselves forward. This is the ihsan in their action. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. And then Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمْعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ. Those who said to them, to the people, verily the host, the people are gathering their forces against you, fear them. فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا. It only increased their faith. وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And they said, Allah suffices us, and what an excellent one to put our trust in. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ وَاتَّبَعُوا رِضْوَانَ اللَّهِ. Those, and they receive blessings from Allah, and no harm afflicted them, and they gain the pleasure of Allah. So this is what we're after. And this is what Allah Ta'ala promises us. But we have to do our part. brothers and sisters, we have to do our part. And if we do our part, we will have these rewards. وَاتَّبْعُوا وَانْقَلَبُوا بِفَضْلٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Gain the blessings, the grace of Allah. لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُمْ سُوءٌ. No harm afflicted them. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, we just remind all of the believers, our primary task that we should never lose sight of is making sure that each and every one of us is a strong believer. المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. The strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, and each there's good. Brothers and sisters, build yourself up physically. Withstand disease. Worship Allah more vigorously. Have more energy and strength to contribute to the work. Intellectually, don't be satisfied at your current level, either in your worldly studies nor in your Islamic studies. Always look to improve. المؤمن القوي خير وأحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف. And spiritually, how did the Muslims endure? How did we take the blows far worse than the blows we have today? يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. Remember Allah much. الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم. Those who remember Allah standing and sitting and on their sides. Remember Allah much so that we strengthen ourselves. Make sure that we're not the brick that breaks down in the wall. المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان يشد بعضه بعضا. The believers are like the bricks in a wall. Each one strengthens and supports the next. So if the wall breaks, it won't be at my brick, because my brick will be strong. This is our responsibility. And if we are all thinking like this, then the wall will be strong. There will be no breaches in the wall. And then we'll impact on this world. Brothers and sisters, Allahumma ighfir lil muslimin wal muslimat wal mu'minin wal mu'minat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.